Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey folks, buckle up because this one's going to make you rethink everything you thought you knew about running a successful trades business.
Yeah, and it's coming straight out of the heart of Silicon Valley. We're talking with Tim and Vadim from Irbis HVAC, two millennial Ironmen, like literally Ironmen, who didn't just build a company, they built a culture.
These guys started with zero industry baggage, no bad habits to break, and turned that blank slate into a high-performing HVAC powerhouse. They're leading with tech, branding like marketeers, and treating their people like gold.
Yeah, and we're talking taking trips to Vegas, team bonuses, clear career paths, and a level of leadership most experienced owners are still dreaming about. If you ever said, I can't find good people, these guys prove you're full of it.
We dig into culture, recruiting, managing across generations, and building trust with both 20-somethings and 60-year-old technicians.
And spoiler alert, they're dominating their market without cutting corners. Whether you're a seasoned business owner or just getting started, this episode will give you ideas, inspiration, and maybe a little kick in the ass.
Let's roll.
Welcome back, everyone, to Blue Collar BS. Brad, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mr. Doyle. How are you today?
Well, you know, it's really muggy as F here, and it's gross in Michigan. It is absolutely horrendous. It might be like muggy.
We had yesterday, which is ideal for our guests today.
It is ideal for our guests today
because that's what they do. They condition air along with the other thing. So today our guests, we have Tim and Vadim from Irbis HVAC. They started as hands-on technicians, and Tim comes from a marketing background, and together they've got the technical expertise with customer focus, and they built the organization from the ground up. They're both Ironman finishers. Congratulations to both of you to have that discipline to go do those things. I have no desire to ever do that, so that's good for you. But their passion for delivering high-quality products and services to their clients out in California is something that they have a passion and desire to do, and we're fortunate to have them both today. So thank you guys for showing up.
Yeah. Thanks so much for inviting us.
Yeah. So before we jump into the show real quick here, and before I forget, Tim and Vadim, which generation do you guys fit in or identify with? We'll start with Tim first.
We are millennials, I would say. We're 30 years old, 31, 32. We may be kind of not Generation Z, but somewhere where the millennials almost are over already and where the Generation Z starts. But me personally, I'm really not proud, but I'm happy what time we born, because we were playing on the street, you know. We had a real childhood where you just go out and come back when the sun is...
That's a Gen X thing.
So yeah, we had that both times. And then we've got the computers came out, the PlayStation, and we saw all this digital. Then we saw how mobile phones emerged, how social media popped up, and we kind of went through all these things. You know, we had a little bit of everything in a good amount. Yeah, so I think this is something maybe a little bit unique to our generation.
Nice.
All right. Vadim, any other input on that?
No, I think Tim answered everything for me, so I can't say any better.
Yeah. So how have you guys, as younger folks in a typically a more mature industry, how have you guys gone about building your team and creating success and earning that market share?
So, yeah, I would say sometimes it gets tricky when you have to manage people that older than you, like about 45. So it's a bit challenging, but over the years, I feel like I got better in this. But most of the, you know, our team members, they are pretty young about our age. So I think our management team, so they're about our age, and we, you know, they're doing really great, you know, in managing people.
So what are some of the things you're doing that you've learned to support managing that older technician or that older employee? What are some of the things you've done to make that successful?
So, yeah, I would say when we started, I didn't know anything about, you know, running the company or managing people. So we had to learn everything from very beginning, starting with mistakes. And, you know, we have very good HR. So I learned from her, and I learned by making mistakes. That's how I learned, basically.
Okay.
Don't we all?
Yes, that is the biggest form of learning. So do you allow your people to make mistakes, or are you expecting perfection out of them?
I allow them to make mistakes and learn from them. One time is a mistake. Second time is a choice, right?
There is
a true statement.
That is
a true statement.
There is that.
How about you, Tim? How have you seen that on your marketing side of things, Tim? Being able to grow and attract and leverage a young company into a mature audience.
I would add, you know, that being credible would be number one. I mean, whatever we do in our company, me and Vadim, we try to be the best in that. So we have, when we talk even with elder people, then after, we do have professionalism, and, you know, we know what we're talking about. So when you have credibility, that will be definitely your key to keep the conversation going to the direction you want. And if to talk regarding the marketing, I think that was number one reason why I joined this journey. I think I was lucky to have good experience by creating some websites and to have experience to manage some projects where I deployed the new products to using the internet. I designed some things. And when I did a little research on other companies around our area, I found a lot of things that I could easily improve. And I think that approach helped us. And like even right now, we kind of have the same approach towards our marketing.
All right. So what are you seeing as trends to attract talent to your business?
Yeah, I would say definitely pay. So if you don't pay enough money to people, you're not going to get best performers. I would say it's both. First, you know, culture in a company. Mm-hmm. And second thing is, of course, pay. I mean, first people look at the pay. I would say they wouldn't go in a company. So making sure that you have the right compensation, which is performance pay. And also allowing people, even though like hourly people, they still should have some kind of bonus structure to make sure that, you know, they're performing really well, they have this opportunity to make extra, you know, extra income there. So that's what we're trying to do for every position in the company.
That's great. You mentioned culture. How are you establishing yourself as the culture that people should want to come to?
So, yeah, I feel like, you know, the way I'm interacting with our employees or even, you know, our managers, it's pretty friendly, but we also have expectations, you know, to perform at, you know, standard that we're doing. And you know, I'm still pretty involved in all the operations with installers, with service technicians, mm-hmm. with comfort advisors. Sometimes, you know, I feel like just people that performing well, sometimes just calling them and saying, hey, man, you're doing great job. Thank you. You know, or mm-hmm. calling people that underperforming. Hey, man, like, what's going on? What I seen your performance down lately. What can we do? So I feel like over the years, people just appreciate that. I mean, just like the things that we're doing here, we're doing pretty some cool things, like our installers, they go Vegas. We got like Vegas trip for 12 people for what? Them. So it's building the, you know, team.
The
yeah,
marketing guy approved that.
I think that was a marketing thing, maybe sales thing.
Yeah, so they all went to a game for like 49ers and Raiders last year. And this year we're doing same trip as well. So everyone pretty excited, you know, about things like this. So we also have a trip. So 8 people went to Costa Rica this year and next year. So 4 people went to Hawaii this year. And next year, we're also doing like a same trip for top performing employees.
Wow. That is very generous of you.
Yeah.
So sign me up. So taking that culture, how are you doing the internal communications to be able to continue to help that culture grow and develop, and ensuring that the leadership team is putting out the right messaging and doing those things so that your internal messaging and external messaging are congruent?
Yeah, so I'm really focused on helping people to have good experience. And especially our generation, I mean, the newer generation, we are in social media and we see how people can live their lives, you know. When you see that you can have nice things in your life, you definitely want to have them as well. And we do all the best to allow our employees and all team members to have the best things. And very often, you don't really need to spend a lot of money on that. It's not that expensive. I mean, you know, keeping the vents, help them to keep their vents clean and organized, to have the truck, nice trucks, you know, our vents, they're very beautiful. And they kind of create, you know, very positive, like, vibes in our company. The way how we decorated our office, you know, we just took a trip to the shop where they sell used furniture, but we found such a great setup. It matches the colors in our office. And we hired additional people overseas to help other employees, you know, with some reports. So the workflow and operation is more smoother. We have people who order parts. So we do this little tweaks that helps people to have a better day overall. So they don't get overwhelmed with some unnecessary things or with something that other people can do, for example. And all these little tweaks helps to create an environment where people see that this is the place where I see people are really enjoying, you know, just to work, because like home service is pretty difficult job. But if you can make it more convenient, more comfortable, with a more positive energy, that will be definitely somewhere where people would want to go. And gotcha. Regarding the communication, basically nothing kind of special, you know. But what we really do, we do have weekly meetings with all departments where both me and Vadim are involved directly. So Vadim works more with the technicians. I work more with all office and our marketing team, customer support. We work directly with everyone, and everyone knows where the company is heading, what are priorities, what changes are happening. But in terms of the tools, we just used basic messengers. We do have, of course, organized group chats for every team, for department. But other than that, I would say having direct communications and being involved in the operations from the leadership This is kind of what helps us as well.
Okay. So you guys started this from the ground up, right? You did not acquire another business, did you?
No, I didn't.
So do you feel that was an advantage to be able to come in to the industry and do it your way versus maybe somebody today in your position that might come in and try to buy somebody else's problems? Do you think you're in a better position because you're able to start from scratch than acquiring something that was already established?
I feel like because we started by ourselves, we did a lot of mistakes and we're still, you know, doing them, but we were able to learn from it and, you know, establish better processes, the one that, you know, we think the best. Also, we've been doing like a lot of shop tours, going to a lot of events. And what I also realized that not that if you see some big company doing some certain stuff or they have certain process, it's not always the best. So you kind of have to figure out what's best, what works for your company, what works for your area, you know, have to be careful with that. I guess, yeah, not everything right exactly, you know, for your company.
Okay. And has that allowed, you think being able to start from scratch has allowed you to leverage technology more effectively as well?
Technology? You mean
automations, the technology within, you know, having GPS on trucks or using tools that maybe one of your competitors who's been around 60 years isn't even thinking about having that interface or that customer service aspect where maybe people are expecting things. They're maybe still writing things on paper and
we actually everything from like scratch. Yeah. And we didn't have any knowledge how other companies doing certain things. There are pros and cons of that. You know, I would say we could definitely get some this GPS trackers or some cameras much earlier than we got them. But on the other hand, I mean, in the very beginning, I was the one who was choosing the software, so the way how we interact with customers. And I was doing it with my own philosophy, kind of. I had my own values to draw the certain journeys so customers are informed in time, they have transparency. And going from that angle helped us to create some unique customer journeys we have at the moment without relying on what other companies are doing. So it's a mix, yes. Mm-hmm. And definitely, we do have very unique things that other companies do not have exactly because we started completely from scratch. In the very beginning, it was kind of simple. You know what? I can do all the best to do best customer support, best dispatching, and Vadim was the one who was going and providing the best service to fix the unit or whatever. And in the end, that all customer need. They need good customer support, and they need expert to go to their home and do their job. And we just trying to keep the same strategy across the board, and doesn't matter how many people are involved at the moment.
As you've been able to start from scratch, build your culture, do your thing to create a competitive advantage in the marketplace, how do you envision that next set of leaders coming through the organization? If they're the same age, if your leadership team is here today with you, how are you building out their expectations? You're looking at multiple locations, looking at taking a unique system and trying to franchise? How are you going to help continue to stimulate the growth of your leadership team?
So I would say we still not at the size to, you know, expand to, you know, like different locations. So I feel like there's a lot of potential at the area we're at. There's a lot of things happening in Bay Area, such as, you know, they phase out all the natural gas water heaters and all the gas furnaces. I feel like when, you know, that date when they phase out all water heaters in 2027 and furnaces in 2029, there will be a lot more work here in the area. Plus, we're not we're not, you know, doing electrical, and not we still have way more work on electrical side, on plumbing side. So I feel like there is still this potential that we're just trying to grow our team in this location and just have, you know, there is always work to do in a company. So
yes,
doesn't matter how long you work, there's always going to be a problem. So always things to improve. I think at this point, we're just trying to maximize things. We're trying to hit 19 million this year. We're pacing there. And I feel like there is way more potential in this area. Can do way more. And we're just looking for top performing people, good managers, that able to come in and, you know, help us to build it to bigger size. Potentially, maybe more locations, but right now we're just focused on this thing, like growing more in our area.
Okay.
Own our backyard first.
That's fair. And that's some of the things, right? So we're out here in the Midwest. That whole phase out aspect, that's not happening here. So that's all things that we're not necessarily familiar with. And that was going to be one of my questions is, how do you find your market to be different than the rest of the country, as you may have technicians that are coming from other parts of the country to come out to California? How are you finding that difference of just geographic cultural differences in your region to bring on techs or other employees inside the organization?
So we are in Silicon Valley. Most of our customers, they are engineers.
Okay.
I think this is one of the reasons why our company is having certain success in terms of customer acquisition. So we are here younger. So, you know, we learn faster. We love technologies. We love integrations, sensors, connections. We are kind of focused to provide customers with the best setup for their homes. And all engineers, they love it, you know. They all, you know, right? I'm an engineer, I know all of that. So they definitely take part in, you know, customizing the whole setup for their homes. And our projects are way more complicated than, for example, in what happens in Southern California, where, you know, they just swap. We just don't know the Midwest, honestly, you know. But, for example, we know Southern California, where they just swap ACs. It's very easy, you know, you just go there, one day job, this is they focus. In our area, some setups are so crazy. It's zoning system, it's dampers, heat pumps, you know, sometimes it's hybrid heat, sometimes this is completely new manufacturer with the water heating system, which is integrated into the heat pump for heating, and our customers, they love it. And at the same time, it's a challenge for us. You know, we have to go back for some recalls. But this is our market, you know, and, you know, we are adapting to it. But it's definitely more kind of technologically more advanced than in other parts of the United States, I would say. But at the same time, you know, people pay for that. So it's kind of...
Yeah, and I feel like here in this area, our comfort advisors, they need way more knowledge about, you know, some certain things, because it's different installations. You have to offer custom solutions to homes. Sometimes it's like really big homes, and a lot of people here still don't have air conditioners. They just have gas furnaces, so we have to figure out ways how to work with some certain HOA communities. Our comfort advisors also learn about rebates that homeowners can get. And there's different municipalities like Silicon Valley Clean Energy, Peninsula. There is certain rebates that they can get based on the equipment, based on the area they live. And, you know, basically, our comfort advisors, they learn how to stack all these rebates, maximize savings, and also a lot of system, a lot of systems, customers switching to heat pumps. So actually, we also different compared to our competition when they trying to just install same air conditioner and furnace. What we're trying to do, trying to switch everyone in a heat pump and give customer all the options. And, you know, at the end, they realize that heat pump, the best option. And 95% of our installations are heat pumps right now.
Oh, wow.
We're just doing heat pumps. And it's we do only like, I would say 90% of installation, it's also one certain model of heat pump. That's inverter heat pump. That's variable speed.
So. Okay. Well, that's awesome. So how do people find you guys other than you have a unique name, but how do they find you to make that call? If there's technicians looking for opportunities to be part of a great culture, a young leadership team, how do they go about finding you guys to make a connection?
So in the very beginning, I found out that people struggling to pronounce or remember our name. So, and we got the phone number, which is 669 Cooling. This is our kind of second little brand that helps to, you know, remember us. But other than that, we are like everywhere. That's my personal approach. You know, some people say, oh, I like Yelp or I hate Home Advisor or this or that. We are everywhere. Absolutely. You know, we are on TikTok. We are on Reddit, Nextdoor, Facebook, Google Ads, Google Local Services, TV, like radio, the
billboards.
Yeah. So, luckily, this year we got to the size where our goal is not just to do some campaign, but our goal is to like go out to the street and ask 10 random people and have at least like 5 of them recognize our brand. So we are kind of have this kind of goals. But other than that, as a customer, you just look, if you look for a company, we're going to pop up everywhere very easily. And if you look for service, you probably will see us everywhere as well, whether it's Yelp or Google Maps or Google Search. Yeah. Even ChatGPT recommending us already. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was doing some research on some incognito windows, it was almost impossible not to find you. Because you are everywhere. It's like, okay, great. Here's what this is. Because I'm not going to find in my local search finding a California service company. Oh. But when I do my, I did an incognito window and did some searching. I'm like, yeah, you guys have a lot of stuff everywhere. And even though that journey of starting that company from the beginning is difficult, just hopefully you guys are taking the time to appreciate how far you've come and how successful you have been to date to create what you've created. But yes, the journey's not over, but sometimes you just got to step back and take the win, you know, celebrate that win, and congratulations for your contest and keeping the engagement and all the things with your people and staff. So that is definitely a role model that many others need to look at and, listen to and maybe try to follow a little bit. Cause I'm going to assume you don't have a lot of problems hiring technicians. Let's put it this way. Having technicians apply. Hiring them and being qualified might be a different story, but finding people to apply, I'm sure, is not a challenge. Or are you having a challenge getting people to apply?
I don't think so. So we're pretty recognizable, and we hear from people. Oh, I heard your, I heard you about you from the, you know, other technicians. Heard about you, you know, I saw a billboard. So, and we have a lot of what we found out over the years, the best way to find technicians through referrals. So you bring one good person, you treat them well, they're going to bring another 2-3 people that's really good for the, so technicians, they know other technicians, they know, you know, they in the industry, so they're gonna bring, and then other technicians usually bring more technician if they really like the company. So over the years, that you know what works best, and that's how we found our top performers as well.
That's fantastic. Vadim, Tim, thank you so much for sharing your story today. And I'm going to recommend that all of our listeners go look them up, go find them, go see what they are doing, because just because it's in California doesn't mean it can't work here in the Midwest, East Coast, down South. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. So what you guys are doing is very powerful and very successful. And thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Brett, for inviting us.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.